Recently, I attended a funeral, and I arrived 15, 20 minutes early, and I knew I was going to be a little bit early, I took my Soul Winners New Testament in with me, and this particular New Testament has a section in the back, some of you may have some of these, that has a topical index in the back. It has certain topics and has several verses listed under that topic, and so I took it out and I began to read through it, just kind of thumbing through it, and it has a section in the back about what Jesus is. And in this section, I ran across a section that said, Jesus is our sufficiency. Jesus is sufficient. And as I began to read that, the Lord laid that message on my heart to come to you tonight and tell you that Jesus is sufficient for all your needs. All people have trouble, and I suppose being in my position in the church, I hear about more of it than most of you do. It doesn't seem like a week goes by that someone doesn't come in and spend time talking with the preacher or call him on the phone and tell him about a marital problem or a family problem or a death in the family or a rebellious child or something. It just seems like it's always going on. And all of us have needs and troubles and trials. What's the answer for our needs? I believe it's a simple answer, and I believe that Christ is the answer to every need you have tonight. It will be a simple message, but I believe it will be helpful to you. There are three verses in the book of 2 Corinthians that have the word sufficient in them, and I'm going to look at those three verses tonight and examine the context and find how Christ is sufficient to meet our needs. So take your Bibles, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. In this passage, Paul is defending his apostleship, and as he comes to these people in verse 5, he says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Paul said, "Folks, I am not sufficient." He said, "I can't do the job." He said, I do not have the ability to do the job that God wants me to do." He said, "I'm not able." And so first of all, I want you to see man's inability. And Paul, it's amazing to me that Paul could say, "I am not able." I mean, who was Paul? Paul was the first missionary, wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament. That's something. Wrote half of the books of the New Testament. He was a man that had much to brag about. In fact, let's look in Philippians chapter 3 and find out Paul's heritage. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5. Again, Paul is defending his apostleship in this passage also, and he's beginning to write about who he is and what he has been. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5, he starts out by saying, "I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Now listen, folks, this guy had a lot to brag about. I mean, he had some good things going for him. He said, first of all, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He was an Israelite by birth. An Israelite by birth, truly an Israelite. He knew the Hebrew language. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the strictest religious sect of that day. They practiced the law. They tried to keep the law. They made up laws to protect the law and made up laws to protect the laws to protect the laws. I mean, they were very, very careful about what they did. And he said, concerning the law, "I'm blameless." This guy was really somebody. He had a lot going for him. And yet in 2 Corinthians 3:5, he says, "I'm not sufficient. I can't do the job." And the word sufficient in this passage means worthy. He said, "I'm not worthy. I'm not fit. I can't do the job that God has called me to do." And frankly, as I stand before you tonight, I have to say, I'm not sufficient. I am not worthy. I cannot do the job He's called me to do. In Sunday school this morning, if you were in the adult Sunday school classes, you probably heard John 15:5, which says, "Without me, ye can do what? Nothing." That's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, God, you may be in a position tonight where you say, "God has called me to do something, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power." Good. you're in good shape. That's what Paul was. Paul said, I can't do it. God has called me to this ministry, and I can't do it. And if you feel that way about what God has called you to, you're in good company. You're in good company, because that's how all of us are. We can't do it. We cannot do it. Folks, if you're trying to serve God on your own, you're in deep trouble. I was talking to Mrs. Lassen this morning before church, before Sunday school. We're talking about the preacher going down to Bob Jones, and you've heard him say several times how he, you know, if the Lord would come back right now, he'd be happy. Or if they'd get somebody else, or if something would happen, he'd have to go. He didn't feel sufficient of him in his own self. I think that's good. Because of that, he spent many an hour on his knees in prayer. He studied and he studied and he studied and he's prayed and he's prayed and he's prayed. Why? He said, I'm not sufficient. I'm not sufficient. And there are probably folks here tonight who say, Brother Gary, I would do something for God, but I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Well, you're in good shape then. Because Paul said, listen, I am not sufficient. I can't do it. And so what's the answer to this? He says, but our sufficiency is of God. Through God, you can be fit. You can be competent. You can do the job. With God's help, you can do whatever God has called you to do. I am confident that the preacher will do a good job this week. You know why? I believe God called him to do it. And I don't believe God's going to get him down there and say, well, there you go, buddy. Have a good time. You know, I'm leaving. Got to go out for a while. I don't think it's going to happen. I believe God will stand with him. I believe God will empower him. And I believe God will help him. And I believe the same thing is true for you also. If God has called you to do something, I believe God can help you to do it. I believe he can. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do how many things? Most things. Things that I've got the strength to do. Things that aren't too hard, right? No. Again, that all-inclusive word, I can do all things. I can do all things. Is that how the verse ends? No. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ, you can do what God wants you to do. And I can do what God wants me to do. I'll be honest with you. When I came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church 5 years ago, seems a lot longer, doesn't it? You know, some of you think, man, 10, 15, 20 years. You know? 5 years ago, I came as music and youth. Man, I didn't know what I was doing. Still, I'm not sure if I know what I'm doing. But to stand up and direct, you know, congregational singing, I suppose one of the scariest things for me, you know, the church I was from, we had 200 or 300. And to stand up all of a sudden in front of 400, 500, 600 people sometimes, my lands. But God had called me to do it, and God enabled me. Hopefully I'm better than when I came. If I'm not, I'm in deep trouble. So are you, by the way. But hopefully, see, God will help us, and we can do all things through Christ. You know when I get in trouble? When I think, well, Seaman, you've got it made. Boy, I tell you what, you've been doing this for 5 years now. Piece of cake, you know, just slide in and slide out. Don't have to pray about it. Don't have to rely on God. You've got it made. Boy, I'm in deep water then. But when I realize my dependency upon God, and this Sunday school lesson this morning helped me to reestablish that in my heart, that I've got to be attached to the vine and be fellowshipping with the vine and getting my power and my nutrition and my energy through the vine, and then it's possible. You see, in Matthew 19, he says, with God, all things are possible. Now listen, folks, you can't duck out under all. Whatever you're doing, whatever God has called you to do, that includes it. That includes it. God's word says that our sufficiency is of God. In God, you can do it. Oh, there's so many great examples in Scripture. I love stories. And there are some great stories in Scripture. I think, right offhand, I think of David and Goliath. And you can't help but feeling for poor David as he went out to fight that giant. I mean, here he was with his slingshot, you know, and he's got 5 stones, and he's facing this huge giant over 9 feet tall who's been trained all his life to be a warrior. Huge. I mean, the shield is so big he has a guy carrying it for him. And the guy is just totally outmatched. There's just no way he can win. He can't win. But he did. Why? God used him. God used little things. Boy, he uses little things all the time. I think of the little boy that had the lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We saw Denver carried his lunch in tonight, and I thought maybe we're going to reenact the scene tonight. I didn't know. But he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed a multitude of people. Small things. A small boy's lunch. Small boy's lunch. He took 12 guys. In fact, turned out 11. 11 guys. Some were fishermen. Now, I apologize if you're a fisherman, but these guys weren't, you know, real educated, and I'm not trying to cut you down, but in that day, that was their occupation, and they knew how to fish, and they were good at it, but they weren't great theologians, they weren't great speakers, but God used those 11 men, and it says they turned the world upside down. Why? Because God can handle a situation. Whatever God calls you to do, you can do it. I like reading. I'm getting in the habit of reading biographies, and preachers got me doing that. And we have, by the way, some good biographies in our library. You can check out on Wednesday night. It'll be a challenge to you. And I read about D.L. Moody, kid from the backwoods, shoe salesman. And he touched two continents for God. Why? God used him. God used him. God enabled him. God was his sufficiency. Think of old Peter. And old Peter was a chicken. I mean, you know, he had all kinds of opportunities, and he said, no, not me. We got the wrong guy. I've got a twin brother. That was probably the one you're thinking of. You know, no, it wasn't me. And he denied Christ three times. And yet Christ used him the day of Pentecost to preach to those Jews. And, I mean, he told them off. He said, listen, fellas, you killed the Messiah. He wasn't a chicken then. Why? God empowered him, and God used him. Listen, God's ability is greater than your inability. Get it again. God's ability is greater than your inability. And if you'll trust God, you can do it. I remember several Christmases ago, I got some sayings of Dr. Bob Sr. and made some plaques and gave them to my family, which was kind of interesting. I wasn't too wise, really. I knew what their weaknesses were, and so I gave them a plaque that dealt with their weakness. It wasn't real subtle, and later I heard about that. But I gave one to my father. And at the time, he was having some difficulty in his church. And it said, you and God make a majority. Hey, if you've got God on your side, folks, you're in good shape. You can make it. You can do what needs to be done. Now, what's God calling you to do that you haven't done because you're afraid you couldn't do it? I might fail. I might not be able to do it. Listen, Paul said, I can't do it. I can't do it. Hey, through Christ, who is our sufficiency, you can do what God calls you to do. So first of all, Christ is sufficient for his service. Secondly, in chapter 9 and verse 8, we find that Christ is sufficient for our supply, his service, and now our supply. He can meet our needs, whatever they might be. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficient in all things may abound to every good work. Now, the context of the passage, you need to understand what he's talking about here. It's one of the Baptists' favorite thing to talk about, and that is offerings. I know it thrills you when the preacher starts talking about offerings and giving, but that's what Paul was talking about in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. And he was talking to these people, and they were very good givers. They, in fact, in chapter 8, it talked about how they gave out of their poverty and had great joy in giving. And in this chapter, he's talking about taking an offering. And they're going to take an offering to go help some needy Christians. And he gives some principles in verse 12 through 14. He says you need to give proportionately, which is where we get the tithe idea. Or, of course, we get it from the Old Testament, but I believe it carries over here. He talks in verse 6 about giving bountifully, in verse 7 about giving cheerfully, and in the whole passage he's talking about giving. I've memorized verse 6 and 7, talks about he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he gave the principle of sowing and reaping, and right in the middle of this context, he gives us a great promise. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Notice the next phrase, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. In all things. Listen, did you know that God can supply every need that you have? And in this context, we're talking about financial situations. Did you know he can provide the financial needs you have? That's what he's saying here. And again, in Philippians 4, another great verse says, and my God shall supply how many needs? All your needs. According to what? His riches and glory. Hey, listen, folks. We used to sing a song as a teenager. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You sung that song? The wealth in every mine. He's my father's in mine as well. You know, hey, listen, God is not a pauper. He's not out begging. He's in no trouble, you know. Stock market hasn't crashed in heaven. He's got great things. Listen, folks, I don't know what your needs are tonight. There may be some here close to financial ruin. God can supply your need. Now, the key word there is need. I've been talking to my college and career class for several weeks now about my red Corvette that I sat in down at Sherwood Chevrolet, $39,000, if you can imagine. Folks, that's how much my house cost. People are driving cars that cost as much as my house. Maybe they live in their cars, I don't know. But the key word there is need. Now, I haven't been praying for a red Corvette, so now if you want to give me one, I suppose I could probably take it, but your need. God shall supply all your needs. We get in trouble sometimes because we want things we don't need. And we get in trouble because we work our way into a situation where we buy things we don't need, and then we're in hock up to our neck, and we can't see our way out and say, God, help me, please. You know, and he said, well, if you sell that and sell that and sell that, you'd be okay, you know. But we're talking about your needs here. Talking about needs. And God said, I'm going to supply all your needs. I remember the first time God provided in a special way that I can remember in our family. I believe we'd only been here at the church a very short time. And at the time, I was paying my tithes on Monday. I try to do it on Sunday now. I think it was a little nicer thing. But my tithe was $30. And I just didn't have it. I didn't have it. If I put the check in for $30, I knew I was in bad shape. It was going to bounce. But I did it anyway. That's how I operate sometimes. And I thought, well, the Lord will provide. And so we put it in. And I think I must have put it in Monday morning. And so it would have cleared the bank Thursday. And I believe it was Wednesday in the mail. We got a letter from some folks that had taught my wife in school. And in it was a check for $30. And I thought, those folks have never sent us money before. Never sent us money since either, come to think of it. But can you imagine? Can you imagine what that did for me as I'd given $30 and God sends the exact amount through the mail to us on the day I needed it? I had deposited it so the check didn't bounce on Thursday. At a Bob Jones University Friendship Banquet, I won't tell you all the details, but a year and a half ago, I believe the Lord laid a certain amount of money on my heart to give to Bob Jones University. I won't tell you because I don't think it's fitting to do so, but it was a lot of money for me. Of course, 10 cents is a lot of money for me, but this is a lot of money. And we prayed and we thought, how are we going to pay this? You know, we had 1 year to pay it. And at Christmas last year, a man gave us twice as much, exactly twice as much money. It's kind of funny. The same man gave some money to Bill, and Bill said, man, keep giving that money, because he said, every time you do, I get some too. He said, that's a great thing, you know. Lord blesses you, he blesses me too. So he said, you keep living by faith, and we'll do all right like that. But hey, listen, now folks, can you imagine how that builds your faith? Hey, you see God providing. Now, I'm not a great prayer warrior. I'm not a great person of faith. I'm not a George Mueller, but I'm just me. But God said, I'll supply all your needs, all your needs. This year, we faced another financial crisis, we thought. We're putting Sarah in a Christian school, and it was, I think, $77 a month. And I'd never had any money left over at the end of the month. You know, I just don't have those kind of experiences. And we thought, how are we going to do it? We felt we ought to do it, thought it was the right thing to do, so we put her in school. And God provided more than we needed. He just provided. And I'd kind of plotted some ways I might be able to work it out, you know, and do this and do that. And man, God just did great. Just abundantly above all I could ask or think. See, that's how God does things. I think of Donna Lane, and I'll quit with the illustrations after this, but I'm sure you've heard, she needed, I think, $15,000, $20,000 this operation, and people raised money, and we raised some money, and folks gave her money, but she didn't have enough money. And I was out there talking to her dad one day, and he was going to get a loan for, I think at that time, $15,000. I mean, he's up to his neck in loans and things because all the finances and all the medical bills and so forth. And she was praying one day, and they brought in some more money, and she had $10,000. And from what I understand, a man called her on the phone and said, Donna, how much money do you need? And she'd been praying, and the phone rang. And she said, I need $10,000. And he said, I'll send it to you. And he wired the money to her bank account. God has great means, folks. When I heard that, I asked the preacher who the person was. We were going to give him a call. Preacher and I, we thought maybe we could get in on this deal. But see, God is not a pauper. Now listen, folks, when you get saved, you become the child of a king. Now the kings I've read about had lots of money. They weren't hurting financially. And God the Father has great, great things that he can give to you. There's no foreign trade deficit in heaven. They don't have one. There's no inflation problem in heaven. Things are fine in heaven. God has the resources. And folks, God, some of you young people, God may be calling you a Christian school, off to Bob Jones or some other Christian school. And you're saying, man, $5,000, $6,000 a year. Whew, no way in the world. Hey, if God's calling you to do it, folks, he'll provide. My dad put five people through Bob Jones University on a pastor's salary. He makes a lot less, really, than I even make. He made hardly anything. But God provided. God provided. And got us all through. At one time, he had three kids at Bob Jones. Can you imagine? My lands. Well, that's why we quit having kids. We thought they all might end up at Bob Jones at the same time. We'd be in bad shape. But, hey, listen, folks, God can provide. Again, when you've got some financial needs, you've got some, and by the way, this can apply to much more than financial, because it says he is sufficient in all. In all. That includes everything. Listen, Christ is sufficient for your needs. He's sufficient to give you power for service. He's sufficient for your supply. And thirdly, he's sufficient during our sorrows. And I suppose this is the main reason I'm preaching this message, because there are people here tonight, many I'm sure, some I don't even know about, that have sorrow. That have sorrow. And I'm here to tell you that Christ is sufficient for your sorrow. Look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Oh, this is a tremendous verse. This is a tremendous verse. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Again, we need to look at the context to know what Paul's talking about. But as most of you know, Paul had a physical problem. We think probably it was his eyesight. In verse 7, he talks about this thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan came to buffet him. Probably, we think it was probably something to do with his eyesight, because of several other passages in Scripture. May have been the kind of disease that made him look rather hideous. May have been something that people did not want to look at. And he said he had this thorn in the flesh that Satan came and buffeted him, and his reaction to that was a normal reaction. He prayed. He said, God, take this problem away from me. Heal me. He prayed once. He prayed twice. He prayed three times. And yet God didn't answer. God didn't take it away from him. Now that ought to tell you something, folks. See, there are folks out there today that say, boy, you just pray and God will take care of anything. Take care of everything. No, God doesn't always say yes. Doesn't always say yes. And in Paul's situation, he said no. He said no. It's interesting, even when Christ was in the garden, remember what he prayed? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was asking to not have to die if there was some other way. But he said, even so, thy will be done. He said, all right, I'll go through it. I'll go through it. God does not always answer prayers in the affirmative. And here was the Apostle Paul. I mean, if anybody was spiritual, Paul had to be spiritual. And yet God said no. Said no. He said, Paul, I will not take away your physical infirmity. And in that context, we get this great verse. But he said, by the way, Paul, he said, listen, my grace is sufficient. That word sufficient, enough, just enough. He said, Paul, this is trouble for you. I know it caused you sorrow. I know you'd like to get rid of it. But Paul, my grace is sufficient. There is enough, Paul, to meet your every need. You say, but Brother Gary, you don't know what I've gone through or what I'm going through. You're right. You say, you don't know how it feels to go through that. You're probably right. Many things you've gone through, I never have. But I do know that God is omniscient. I know he's omnipresent. He knows. He knows exactly what you're going to go through, what you've been through, what you'll ever go. God knows all about you. He knows all about me. And he says, Gary Seaman, my grace is sufficient for you. And we could put your name in that verse too, every one of you that are Christians tonight. God says, listen, my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what you go through. But my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. It's enough. And God has a plan. He's working in that plan. And he's got a reason for everything. I think of Ron Hamilton. For some of you know, he's the man that has written a lot of the music our choir sings. He's also at the Patch the Pirate series. And went in for an eye exam one day, and the doctor said, you've got a spot behind your eye. And so he went down to Atlanta, Georgia, and they were going to operate. And they said, you will either wake up without an eye, or you'll be able to see and it'll be no problem. And they found out, they went in, and he woke up, and his eye had been removed. He had cancer in his eye. And his eye was removed. And he put a patch over his eye. And at the hospital, they began to kid him and called him a pirate. And he went to church, where he was going to church at the time. And the kids all called him pirate and everything. And he got the idea of Patch the Pirate. And through that, he's had a great ministry. A great ministry because of what God did. Now, I don't understand why a lot of things happen. We may never know why they happen. But friends, listen. Remember that God's grace is sufficient. It's always enough. His strength is always enough. There have been times in my life when I've said, why? It doesn't make sense. Why, God? Why do I have to go through this? But he always answers, it's all right, Gary. My grace is sufficient. It's always enough. No matter what it is, he said, there's always enough. And I'm so glad God's strength is enough, too. As you look in that verse, I don't know if I could say this, but Paul said, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That word rest is like a tent being pitched over someone. And he's saying, listen, when I have these weaknesses, when I have these problems, when I have struggles, then Christ's strength and his power comes and rests upon me and strengthens me and helps me. And I suppose the greatest illustration of why Christ does things like that is in the illustration of Gideon. And the poor guy's going out, he's got 32,000 men, and he's facing a multitude of people. And you know, what's he going to do? And to make matters worse, God said, you got too many. And so 22,000 of them go home to mama, you know, and go home to their wives and stuff, and call it quits for the day. He's left with 10,000. And that's still pretty bad odds. And God says, well, that's still too many. So great. And so he ends up with 300. 300 men against a multitude. And to make it worse, you know, they don't have chariots, they don't have cannons, only machine guns. They have trumpets, you know, great weapons, trumpets and pitchers with fire in them. But God said, listen, Gideon, I don't want you to get any glory out of this victory. He said, I'm going to get all the glory out of this. And you know what, folks? Whenever you've got trouble, whenever I have trouble, and God helps us through it, you know what happens? God gets glory. People look and they say, my. When you're a Christian, you can really go through some deep troubles, can't you? I was just out at Stevens residence, I think last week, with a preacher. And as many of you know, Gary Stevens has had some serious lung problems, has what's called Baker's lung. And he just about died. He couldn't breathe and his heart began to beat too fast and had all kinds of things. And been through terrible struggles. But then these folks, they've got kids in their home year-round and they've tried to do what's right. And the neighbor said, why has it happened to you? You know, you're always trying to help people and this kind of thing. But through it all, they had a great opportunity to witness about God's power. They said, how can you be so happy? Your husband just about died, you know? And now he's never going to get to work again probably, and you don't have any money. How could you be happy? And they got to witness. You see, when we're weak and God makes us strong, it brings glory to God. And in verse 10, he says, therefore, I take pleasures. Now think about this. Paul is saying, I take pleasures in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong. Are you weak tonight? Are you troubled tonight? Is your heart sorrowful tonight? Then the message to you, my friend, the message to me is Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient. I hope she won't mind, but when Becky's father passed away, we went by the home that night. And it's so difficult in a situation to know what to say. But the Lord impressed me to say, Becky, flee to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And folks, I don't know what your need tonight is. It may be that you have a need for strength and service and to do what you ought to do. It may be you have a terrible financial need. It may be that you're sorrowful. You've got great trouble. You have great worries on your mind. And the message tonight is, flee to Jesus. He is sufficient. He is sufficient. He can meet every single need that you have and that I have. Don't try to go it on your own. You may have had one of the worst years of your life this last year. And you may have bottled all up inside and think it's not fair, it's not right. Hey, come to Jesus. Let the balm of Gilead take care of your wounds and your sorrows. He's sufficient. He's all sufficient. He can help you. I believe each of us, it'd be good if we'd take a pencil and a paper and hang up little signs all over our house where we could see them that say, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. It doesn't matter what you may go through. My grace is sufficient. I like that. There's just enough. There's always just enough, whatever your need may be. The songwriter said, O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Our dear Heavenly Father, tonight we are thankful that You're sufficient. God, we're thankful You can supply every need that we have, every single need. And Lord, I'm sure in a congregation this size, there are folks that have special needs tonight. And we pray that tonight You'd help them, Lord, to flee to You, to come to You, and leave those burdens with Thee. And Lord, we pray You'd apply that balm of Gilead tonight to their souls. Strengthen them, comfort them. Some, Lord, may have bitterness in their life over something that has happened to them. Some may just be deep in sorrow. Some may have deep troubles. God, won't You help them tonight? Won't You minister to their needs? I'm just going to have the ladies play All to Jesus I Surrender. And I'm just going to open the altar. I won't even ask for raised hands, but there may be some folks here tonight who need to run to Jesus. They need to come to the all-sufficient one and leave their burdens with Him. And we're just going to open the altar tonight. You can come and pray and come and leave your needs with the Lord tonight. So ladies, you pray. And if you'd like to come, the altar's open now. You just come and get with the Lord and pray about the need that you might have tonight. right. You may look this way.